They do not know what makes them stumble. To start off, we will look at the path of the just. The path of the just, it's a path. The path of the just as opposed to the way of the wicked. The path of the just speaks of individual, doesn't it? You're an individual. God is looking over you. You're on the path. And, you know, this morning, we're at church. We're here because we know Jesus Christ. Unless you know in your heart that you don't know Jesus Christ, and you would know that. But mainly we're here because we're on the path of the just. And it's wonderful, isn't it? You know, we can thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that you've put us on the path of the just. The path is only for forgiven people. It's not a path that anyone can climb on to escape things. It's a path of the just for the forgiven people. John 3:16 says, I should know this by heart, and I expect a lot of you did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's an offer. It's an invitation that Jesus has sent out. Come on my path. Come on the path of the just. It's just so wonderful. Very often you may get an invitation to a party or to an event, and they want the numbers for the seating, for the size of the venue, for the food, etc. And so they want to know, can you come? And so you'll think it through. You think, well, are we busy? You know, can we make it? Have we got any other things going on? Do we want to go or not? And anyway, you'll eventually come to the decision, yes, we would like to be with you. So you'll have to respond, maybe RSVP. Yes, we'd like to be with you. Or sorry, no, we can't make it. And so it's an everyday decision, isn't it? An everyday occurrence where you're going to spend 2 or 3 hours of your life. But the path of the just, accepting the invitation to get on the path of the just, isn't an everyday decision. It's where your location will be for eternity, not just 2 or 3 hours. So Jesus says, come onto my path. Come onto the path of the just. The decision is more important than your wife. It's more important than your husband. It's more important than your kids. It's more important than your job. It's more important, dare I say, about what people think of you. It's more important than about reputation. Because very often people don't want to be thought of as that religious guy. He's changed. He's changed now. He's become religious. You know, peer pressure is very strong today, but it's more important than that. Jesus says, come onto my path. The location of your eternity depends on it. I died for you. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks at work. Don't worry about what your neighbors think. I love you. I gave my life for you. Respond to me. That's what Jesus says. Come onto my path. It's a wonderful path. It's an exciting path. It glistens. It's strong. No wind is going to blow it away. No water is going to wash it away. It's indestructible. Because it speaks about God holding the path, holding your life. Holding your life. It's indestructible. You're safe and secure in him. He leads you and guides you. You know you're led. You know as a perfect day comes close, you get closer to Jesus. You depend on him day by day. Over 20 years ago, we moved back down to Yeovil from London. And the first job I got was at a place called Federal Mogul in Ilminster. It's an engineering company. Not there now, has moved to Chard. I was there for a year or two, and one of the guys I got friendly with was a bloke called Brian. He was a bit younger than me. He was an ex-biker, and we struck up a friendship. We would have breaks together and have a chat. Anyway, a year or two later, I left to work to an engineering company in Sherborne, and then, after I left it, a couple of months later, I had this dream. Brian, he had long hair. He was like bald on the top like me, but he had long hair on the side. Brian was really, really happy. I had this dream, this vivid dream. Brian, the guy I used to work with, was really, really happy. Now, I did tell him about my faith. Before that, we were doing Christian work in London, and I told him, he asked, where did you used to work? And so I told him about my Christian faith, but he didn't, he'd take the mick a bit and, make a bit of fun, no problem. Anyway, that was it. I left. I had this dream about Brian. And then the next day or two, I was on the phone to someone else who I'd worked with at Ilminster, and he said, Brian got killed in a motorbike accident just a few days ago. And I believe God gave me that dream to encourage me. Brian didn't tell me he asked Jesus into his life. He didn't say anything like that. But why would I have a dream that Brian's really happy and then someone tells me that he got killed in a bike accident? God leads us. He guides us. He wants people to come onto the path of the just. And as you walk, as you come to know Jesus Christ and walk with him, you will be aware that he guides you, he leads you, and he has a plan. God has a special plan for you. He has a special plan. You know, you're in the right place at the right time. Sometimes life might be difficult. Sometimes we might have issues. God says, I know all about your issues. I know things are difficult sometimes, but I have a plan for you. I am with you. Now, I just want to read this brief testimony. It's about these two pastors, and they found themselves in prison for their faith. And they were in Sudan. I'll just read this out. The cells were only 2 meters by 6 meters, and we were up to 20 people there at times. The best part about being there was that we were able to get Bibles and preach to fellow inmates, says Pastor Michael Yat and Peter Reith. They use their experience in a Sudanese prison to show and tell others of God's love. They chose to accept that God still had a plan, and like Paul, become all things to all people. God still had a plan for these two men. Whatever your life is like, God has a plan for you. It might be difficult at the moment, might be great, but God has a plan, and he wants to lead you to the perfect day. The perfect day is when our bodies cease to live and we meet with Jesus, or if we're still alive, we will be in the rapture, we go up and meet with Jesus. And I'll read a couple of verses about that. 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, what does it say? I can't read it. The Lord will be, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore comfort one another with these words. We're going to meet the Lord, whether it be when we die or whether he comes back. The perfect day. You have a wonderful future. Comfort each other with these words. Where am I? Well, I have notes, but I always get lost on my notes. So you'll be patient, won't you? You're going to be patient. Verse 19, Proverbs 4, verse 19, it says, the way of the wicked. The way of the wicked is like darkness. The way of the wicked is like darkness. Now, the way of the wicked, it doesn't mean just people that are obviously wicked. It doesn't mean people that follow after the ways of the devil. Or it doesn't mean people that are serial killers. It doesn't mean people like that. The way of the wicked is also includes people that say, I don't want you, God, in my life. I don't want the Lord to have anything to do with me. I don't want to ask Jesus Christ in my life. I want to live my life as I want to. That's the way of the wicked. you know, kind people are like, I've met many kind people, generous people, say, you know, it's all right for you, but not for me. Now, I was on the way of the wicked until I was 27 years old. 40 years ago, I became a Christian, and I was on the way of the wicked. I didn't want to be a Christian. I didn't want to go to church or anything like that. But God spoke to me, and he revealed that I needed to give my life to him. I had a job, I was working, I had a family and a home. And someone had said to me, you're living in darkness. I was saying, no, I'm not, I'm quite happy. I'm all right, my life isn't in darkness. But the Word of God tells us that the way of the wicked is like darkness. It's like darkness. So very often people will think, well, you know, I'm not in the dark. And they will think they're not, but it's like darkness. It's not obvious. About 10 or 15 years ago, me and a friend, another, he's called Mike as well, we went down into Swildon's Cave. I don't know if anyone heard of Swildon's Cave. It's the longest cave in the Mendips. And it goes on for 9,000 metres and it's 160 metres deep. And we had our guide, Bruce, with us. And you go down this cave. And I went down a few times, but this particular time, it had been raining a lot. And there's a lot of water. You go down the cave. And it's like tunnels. There's ravines. There's low-hanging rocks. You got to crawl through gaps like that. It's all uneven. You got to go down on a rope. Otherwise, you got to climb down. The roar of water. And if you're there, you got a little light on your helmet. If you're there and you turn your light off, there's no way, no way anyone could find their way out of Swildon's Cave. It's dark. It's noisy with the water. It's pitch black. You can't see anything. Everything's uneven. You've got no sense at all of direction. You know, people have died. But we have Bruce. Bruce, our guide. He did the trip two or three times a day. He came and be our guide. He'd do that and then he'd go off and he'd come and take another party down. But we were stuck. You know, if we didn't have Bruce, we would be stuck. There's no way. You know, you just imagine it. It's dark and noisy. You don't know where you are. And before I became a Christian, I used to drink quite a bit of alcohol. And I wanted excitement, so I did hang gliding. I was looking for stuff. But I couldn't get content. I couldn't get happy. And this is what it's like. In Swildon's, you can't get out. Without Bruce, we'd be lost. So I just want you to imagine this morning, if you feel that you haven't given your life to the Lord, imagine yourself in Swildon's. You're there. You don't know where to go. There's no Bruce. You're on your own. The roar of water. You're lost. No hope. Sometimes we need to be reminded what darkness is like. Bruce was there. He guided us out. Jesus says, John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who gives his life to me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If Jesus was here, Jesus could say, he probably won't, but he could say, Swildon's is nothing to me. Swildon's is just a little pothole. I created the universe. I created everything we see. I am the one who can bring light to your life. In fact, I think he would say something along the lines of, I am the only one who can bring light to your life. I am the only one who is qualified to bring light to your life. If you turn your back on Jesus, Swildon's cave. There's no way out. And it's, you know, the Bible speaks of what's going to happen. We thought about the perfect day when we're going to meet with Jesus. But I'll just read a few verses out from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it says, this is when Jesus is going to come back. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. It's a serious subject. These will be punished with everlasting destruction. And so for the righteous, it's the perfect day. A wonderful day. We can look forward to it. But if today you're thinking, I'm not in Christ. I'm not on the path of the just. Eternal destruction. I'll read this verse also out from Ephesians. It's a wonderful verse of scripture, and Jesus put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness who fills all in all. We'll finish here now. I'll just pray. But I'd just like to encourage you, if anyone here knows that you haven't asked the Lord into your life, just read everlasting destruction for when Jesus comes back. I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you know that you're not in Christ, if you know that you're not on the path of the just, then just follow this prayer with me. You can do it quietly in your own heart, but it's just asking the Lord into your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for bearing all my sin. I turn to you in forgiveness, Lord. I ask you to put me on the path of the just. I ask you to save me, lead me, and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll pray one more prayer for the rest of us. Lord, we do praise and thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the path of the just. We thank you that we're privileged to be on the path of the just, that you've called us. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, and that we would meet people like Brian and people like these two pastors met in their prison cell, that we would be alert, that we would be awake to where you guide us and lead us. We need you, Lord. We need your strength and help every step of the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.